Chapter 2, The Hero Myth. To dare is to lose one's footing momentarily. To not dare is to lose oneself. Søren Kierkegaard. For the remainder of the book, this will be our working definition of bravery. Bravery is doing the right thing even in the face of fear or personal loss. Not in the absence of fear or potential for loss, but in the face of it. Acting bravely means understanding the cost of failure, but choosing to do the right thing regardless. Cowardice, on the other hand, is choosing self-protection over right action. Interestingly, it is possible to appear brave to others while actually behaving in a cowardly way. Someone can posture their decision as brave, but secretly be operating selfishly. This isn't bravery, it's just boldness. Inversely, you may appear a coward to others while actually doing the brave thing. Others may not always know your internal considerations and may filter your actions through their own biases. Bravery is an intensely personal choice. Bravery is doing the right thing as best you know it, even when it's the uncomfortable thing. There's no discomfort involved in doing what's safe. It doesn't disrupt your standard of living, and it doesn't affect your relationships in any way. The brave choice is often marked with discomfort, awkward conversations, or misunderstandings from others. Don't expect that your bravery will always be celebrated. Others may not appreciate your choices because they don't understand why you made them. Bravery is a choice, not a foregone conclusion. It's tempting to believe that bravery is a baked-in personality trait of certain individuals because this belief excuses cowardice. I couldn't help it, it's just my nature. However, bravery is a choice, and it's a response that can be trained like a muscle. As your tolerance for uncertainty increases, your response begins to reflect your values rather than your fears and anxiety. Acting with bravery does not make you a superhuman. It makes you fully human. Bravery is always empathetic. It's not about you. If it was, then there is no real potential for sacrifice involved. Brave action is always about the other. Now, the other might be a person or a core principle that you hold dear, but the brave person is always looking outward when deciding. The coward only looks inward and to his own interests. Bravery is action in spite of fear. People who choose to act bravely experience fear and insecurity as much as everyone else. It's just that they have developed the ability to choose cause over comfort. Bravery is the willingness to fail in the pursuit of what matters. Just because you act bravely doesn't mean that you will get the results you want. However, the choice to do what's right supersedes the end result. In the end, your character will be formed more by how and why you made critical decisions in your life than by what those decisions yielded. What bravery is not? Bravery is not stupid risk. Closing your eyes and rolling the dice is not bravery. In fact, it may be the most cowardly thing you can do because it absolves you of the responsibility of your decision. A brave person counts the cost and decides to act because the cost of inaction is simply too much to bear. Brave action is calculated risk in the face of uncertainty, not bold, brash decision-making. Bravery is not bravado. Many people put bluster ahead of action. They posture and pretend they are acting bravely, but in truth, they are only acting selfishly. However, brave people do not feel the need to posture. Instead, they allow their actions to speak for themselves. They are fine being misunderstood and even disliked if that's the cost of right action. They are willing to stand against the tide on principle, even when others don't understand or follow. Bravery is not for a select few. There are opportunities to be brave everywhere and every day. The need for bravery is in the workplace, in the home, in relationships, in neighborhoods, and everywhere humans interact. Bravery is not impulsive. While brave actions often happen in a flash, the source of those actions are deeply held beliefs about right and wrong and a vision for a better future. Brave people are realistic optimists. While their decisions may appear impulsive, they are actually rooted in a deep connection to their values and ambitions. They are poised to act bravely because they have practiced the habit of bravery consistently. Bravery is not anonymous or remote action. Lobbing insults or attacking someone from afar is not bravery. Labeling, irresponsibly accusing, and bandwagon jumping in order to troll or mock someone is amongst some of the most cowardly behavior occurring in modern culture. Stepping into their world, looking them in the eye, and learning to love what you don't understand is the very definition of bravery. The conditions for bravery. If bravery is a discipline, we have the moment-by-moment opportunity to develop our capacity for acting bravely. We can train our instincts to respond with a bias toward proactive response instead of self-protective reaction. As we will explore later, this doesn't necessarily mean that action is always warranted. Sometimes the bravest thing to do is actually to wait, or defer, or to continue to evaluate in the face of intense peer pressure to act. Regardless of whether bravery means acting or waiting, you can train yourself to respond with purpose. A key requirement for brave action is uncertainty. If outcomes were guaranteed, there would be no need for bravery. If you were certain that putting $1,000 into a company would yield a tenfold return in 5 years, you'd be foolish not to do it. If you were certain that your business idea would thrive and provide for your needs for decades to come, you'd already be doing it. If you were certain that your idea would be well received, you would already have written the proposal and presented it to your manager. But if these were certainties, everyone else would be doing them too. Life is a universe of probabilities, not certainties. This means that we cannot seek certainty before we act. Instead, we must cultivate clarity. Each person has a worldview out of which they form narratives that make sense of what's happening around them. If your worldview is clouded by the belief that bad results are inevitable, that effort is hopeless, and that any attempt to right wrongs is ultimately futile, you will tend toward self-protection because you feel your efforts to change things would be useless anyway. On the other hand, if your worldview is generally more optimistic and empowering, with a belief that even small acts can cause larger long-term benefits to your organization or the larger community, you are more likely to engage in behavior that, while uncomfortable, may yield long-term benefits to you and the world around you. To develop the brave habit, you must develop 1. Clarity about what you're aspiring towards, and 2. Understanding of what you're willing to do in order to achieve it. These are the two conditions that lead to brave action. Bravery exists when we have a vision for a better possible future, and we trust that we have agency to help bring it about. Consider the illustration. You can find it at toddhenry.com/bravehabitaudio. On one axis, you have perceived agency versus perceived powerlessness. This means a belief that you have the ability to act in the face of uncertainty versus simply being resigned to your fate. On the other axis is optimistic vision about the future versus pessimism about likely outcomes. When you cultivate both the qualities of optimistic vision and agency, the likelihood that you will make brave decisions in a moment of uncertainty grows. And on teams, when each of these conditions exist, it's more likely that members will make brave decisions for the sake of the organization's mission. The cowardice quadrants. When either optimism or perceived agency is lacking, you are likely to experience the temptation of cowardice. When you have high perceived agency but pessimism, you end up with nihilism or futility. When you believe that you have the ability to act, but you lack a clear vision of what a better possible future looks like, the situation feels hopeless. Yes, you have the skills and platform to do something, but you believe that even if you do act, it's unlikely to change things, or that your effort would be wasted. I often encounter sentiment like this inside of large organizations where mid-level employees feel helpless to change the cultural problems that plague the larger company. I hear things like, "Sure, I could try to alter the way our team interacts, but why would I? After all, that's just the way it is around here." This is a classic case of the absence of an optimistic vision of the way things could be. Similarly, you might feel that you have the skills and a platform to pursue your ambitions, but you don't yet have a clear vision of how you'd like to deploy them or to what end. In this situation, you need to become more clear about your vision for a better possible future. We'll discuss how in Chapter 4. Low perceived agency and pessimism equals resignation. When you lack both a sense of optimism about a better possible future and a sense of agency to bring it about, you are resigned to your fate. You are simply drifting with the currents and feel unable to do anything about it. You are simply being carried along to your destination. For a few recent years, headlines about, quote, quiet quitting dominated magazines and journals as employers tried to figure out why team members were slacking while still collecting a paycheck. My hypothesis? They felt A, pessimistic about their future prospects, and B, that they didn't have any ability to influence the organization. So they were resigned without resigning. What might it have looked like instead if their manager had understood this matrix and made an effort to paint a clearer vision of possibility for them and/or equip them with a greater degree of agency to bring about positive change? It may have completely changed their sense of engagement, and instead of taking the cowardly route of abdicating their responsibility, they may have stepped up and re-engaged. Low perceived agency with optimistic vision. This often yields victimhood. When you have a clear vision for a better possible future, but you lack a sense of agency to bring it about, you are in the quadrant of victimhood. You feel powerless to do anything about what you're experiencing and have surrendered yourself to the powers that be. Now, to be clear, I'm not talking about victimization. There are very real victims in this world, and we must do all we can to help and support them. Rather, I'm talking about the mindset of victimization, in which we yield our ambitions because we don't believe we have the ability to pursue them. We'll discuss how to cultivate a sense of agency in Chapter 3. Finally, high perceived agency with optimistic vision equals bravery. When we have a clear vision of a better possible future and we believe we have the ability to help bring it about, this is the fertile field within which brave action is likely to occur. Please note that it doesn't mean bravery will occur. Rather, it's an environment in which those who are prepared to act are much more likely to do so. As leaders, as storytellers, and as citizens, we have a tremendous role to play in cultivating an environment in which people around us believe in a better possible future and trust that they can do something to help bring it about. In order to do this, we must develop the brave habit. The brave habit. In her book, The Creative Habit, choreographer Twyla Tharp describes her discipline of going to her studio space for an early morning workout each day. She notes that while the end activity is working out in her space, that's not the actual ritual she engages in daily. She writes, "I wake up at 5:30 a.m., put on my workout clothes, my leg warmers, my sweatshirts, and my hat. I walk outside my Manhattan home, hail a taxi, and tell the driver to take me to the Pumping Iron Gym at 91st Street and 1st Avenue, where I work out for 2 hours. The ritual is not the stretching and weight training I put my body through each morning at the gym. The ritual is the cab. The moment I tell the driver where to go, I have completed the ritual. It's a simple act, but doing it the same way each morning habitualizes it, makes it repeatable, easy to do. It reduces the chance that I would skip it or do it differently. It is one more item in my arsenal of routines and one less thing to think about." Even though the workout is Tharp's goal, hailing the cab is the ritual. It's what sets in motion the rest of the activity that leads to her desired results. If you ultimately want to choose brave action more consistently, your aim begins with a simple ritual. While not quite as simple as the act of hailing a cab, it's a process that you can follow consistently to ensure that you are staying focused and active in the face of uncertainty, and you are keeping action at the forefront rather than passively waiting for life to happen to you. Please note the use of the word process. This is not as simple as just do 10 reps with a dumbbell. Rather, through the regular use of self-reflection, centering on productive passion, and creative problem-solving, you can position yourself to seize the moment when it arises. "Fortune favors the brave" is a Latin proverb that you've probably heard at some point, but what does it really mean? Here's my rephrasing. Fortune favors those who prepare themselves for brave action. There's a very simple 5-part ritual that comprises the brave habit. By exercising this habit weekly, you prepare yourself to seize your moment. To make the habit more memorable, I've managed to make the 5 steps spell the word brave, B-R-A-V-E. Number 1, block time for reflection. It might seem as if this is an obvious step, but it's really not. If something matters in life, we make time for it. Block off 15 predictable minutes each week to engage in the brave habit. It could be at the very beginning of the week or at the end, but the important thing is that it's regular, predictable, and non-negotiable. Number two, review your life and work. A key reason why many people feel overwhelmed is that they haven't taken the time to define the open questions and uncertainties that they are actually facing. They drift from day to day, but never make the intentional effort to identify what's giving them anxiety. Look at your upcoming meetings, tasks, projects, and conversations, and consider what acting bravely might look like for you in each of them. Where do you feel uncertain and know that you will be required to act bravely? A question you can ask is, what uncertainties am I facing right now? List 2 to 3 areas where brave action may be required in the coming days. 3. Take agency. Decide what actions, big or small, you will take this week in order to confront the uncertainty that you are facing. What do you know and what don't you know? Where do you need to seek clarity? What questions should you be asking but have been avoiding? What skill could you be developing to prepare you for upcoming challenges? What small, brave actions could you take in the coming days to give you a sense of progress on your important priorities? A question you can ask is, what agency can I leverage in each of those areas to affect change? What is an acceptable risk for each area? What is an unacceptable risk? Decide this ahead of time. Number 4, visualize your better possible future. Reroot yourself in what you do and why you do it, who you are serving, and your deeper sense of productive passion. More about this in Chapter 4. What is worth the risk? Remind yourself of what you value so that it's top of mind as you make decisions throughout your week. A question you can ask is, what is my vision for a better possible future in each of my areas of responsibility? Number 5, express your intent and mission for the week. What does it look like to make brave choices this week? What brave next action can I take today? And who will hold me accountable? In the next 2 chapters, we'll explore how to develop your sense of optimistic vision and how to cultivate perceived agency. If you'd like to see where you might fall on the matrix that we described earlier, it's displayed at toddhenry.com/bravehabitaudio. You can take the Brave Index to discover your Brave Quotient. Visit thebravehabit.com to take the index and receive a customized action plan based on your results.